Oh boy, Tigers wedge game. Bit rusty here on this Friday morning. The Green Jackets, again, they can kiss my ass for giving him the tee times they've given him here. Just absolutely utter disrespect towards one of the game's all-time champs, the all-time champ.
Do you just want to get to Dane Brugler so he doesn't have to hear this? Mm-hmm. Because literally right now, Mark, like in the next hour and a half, we might see Tiger be like +4, and we might see Bowen just completely melt on the radio, which of course would be good for us.
Mark was a little taken aback by my audible sound that I made after that flied wedge over the green on 15, trying to get up and down for par. Dane Brugler, no busier human, I would argue, in the world, certainly with the NFL draft here in the past few weeks and all of that work. We now can see, with The Beast being published on Wednesday, you heard Dane with us down at the Combine back in late February, and Dane Brugler from The Athletic joins us now on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Dane, I always enjoy when you have you on post-Beast publication, and I love when you give us the numbers. So give us the raw numbers. How many prospects, how many scouting reports, how many pages, and how many long snappers are in there?
Well, okay, so we have 1,967 players with NFL-verified testing for each one, 404 scouting reports, there's 320-some pages, 385,000 words. I think I stopped it at maybe 5 long snappers. I mean, in my notes, I mean, you could go 20 deep, but I think I stopped it at 5. So I had to be responsible.
Andy Sweeney, 385,000 pages.
Words.
Like, remember when Neo was like, oh, yeah, you know, I need you to 1,000 word count. I
can't even imagine.
Can you imagine that?
No. Did you always, was there ever a time where you didn't hit save on the document and you lost a couple scouted reports? That's the first thing I thought of when I saw The Beast. And by the way, congratulations. It's a great publication yet again. It really is, Dane.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. I've been doing this a long enough time that I've learned my lesson about properly saving and, you know, all the different tricks from, just pop in a USB and just, do a quick save, or, email myself something, or there are too many ways for it to go sideways. And that's unfortunately, when you do something like this, you're on a clock. You don't have time to waste a day or lose a couple of days' work. You just can't make that up because, the draft is coming. And there's the biggest thing I struggle with when putting this together is, when is enough enough when you're watching a player? Because in a perfect world, you're watching every single tape these guys put out the last 2 years, but that's just not realistic. And so for some of these guys, it's 5-6 tapes. Other players, you need to see a little bit more before you really feel comfortable with who they are as a player. So just for me, in my process, that is what I run into the most, of just that internal battle of, okay, when is enough is enough, and when do I feel like, okay, I've got this guy, this is who he is, I can move on to the next player.
Dane Brugler with us from The Athletic. He joins us on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Again, The Beast is out, 324 pages, 385,000 words, 404 reports, 1,967. I forget what that number even was, Dane. I wrote them all down, but it's a beast. It's players, I guess that would be. It's absolutely awesome. I wanted to start here. There, obviously, we'll get to the Colts here in just a second, and this may also wrap back to the Colts, but we had you on that Friday morning of the NFL Combine, and we had a great conversation from that day, Friday of the NFL Combine, to where we sit here on this Friday on April 12th now, within 2 weeks. You know, we'll wake up in 2 weeks and we'll have the first round in our back pocket. What has changed the most in those few weeks from that Friday to this Friday?
That's a good question. I don't know that a ton has really changed for me, because so much is the hay's in the barn at that point. When you get to the combine, it's just a matter of cross-checking the testing information compared to what you've seen on tape. And sometimes there are some irregularities in terms of what you thought a player was going to do athletic testing wise. I think that with the quarterbacks, it's always interesting. In my opinion, it's Caleb then Drake, but it really feels like Jaden Daniels is going to be that number two pick to the Commanders. And I understand. I mean, it's not like I'm not a fan of Jaden Daniels and what he offers. He's a top 10 player on my board. I think he's going to be a good pro. I can understand, because when you want a quarterback, you're essentially making a bet. And I can understand why you would make a bet on Jaden Daniels as your quarterback. I'm just surprised that it would be over Drake May. I think Drake May just has so much more to offer upside-wise, talent-wise. He's a much younger player. I feel like when you look at his ceiling, what it could be, I'm just a more believer in that. And so it is interesting, the narratives on how things change a little bit. And with Jaden Daniels looking like the favorite to be that number two overall pick, a little bit of a surprise. But I tell you what, if I'm the Patriots, I'm loving that. I'm picking at three. And if Drake May falls in my lap, he's not going to be on the board at four.
He is Dane Brugler. The Beast is absolutely worth the price of your Athletic subscription. He published earlier this week the Ultimate Draft Guide. He's with us right here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Dane, I'm not sure how much you've followed the Malik Nabers visit situation, but reportedly visit with the Colts yesterday. The Colts are at 15. Why? What? Like, Malik Nabers at 15? How surprised or just, like, confused are you if you've been following that along? Because for us, I like, this is pretty head-scratching. We haven't seen him pass like six in a mock draft.
Well, I think it's, you know, there are the reasons for the 30 visits are, there's so many and if you have a question about a player, then it's, you're doing your due diligence by going to find out. I mean, I think the Colts don't have any delusions of grandeur that, hey, he might fall to us at 15, or even if you would fall to 8, 9, it still feels like it would be tough to see the Colts, you know, making that big enough move to go get him. But, you know, who knows? In 4 years, he could be, or 5 years, be available in free agency. And, you know, what are those questions that you had about him that you weren't able to answer from the draft process? Or, you know, maybe it's a fact-finding mission and trying to learn more about Brian Thomas, who a wide receiver that could be in play at number 15. So I think there's so many different reasons for these 30 visits. A lot of teams don't even use the full 30. So, you know, I don't think it's strictly, hey, we want to draft this guy. It's sometimes there's some ulterior motives, and you have to kind of put your investigative hat on and kind of try to figure out why. With Malik Nabers, I think, you know, there's some question marks. Just he was a young player. He's still just 20 years old. And for a team like the Colts, that you never know if let's just say hypothetical, he does fall to, say, the 8th pick. And if you're the Colts, that might be striking distance for you. You don't want to be caught in a situation where you didn't cross all your T's, dot all your I's to know, hey, is this guy worth it? Is he worth giving up that number 2 pick, our second round pick, to go up and get him? So, you know, even though it feels like a long shot that Malik Nabers would be an Indianapolis Colt after the first round, you still, it's just, I think it's due diligence on Chris Ballard's part and the Colts' part to make sure you know everything you need to know about the player.
2 weeks from today, we'll be recapping round one of the NFL draft, round 2 and 3, on that final Friday there from Detroit. That's where this year's draft is. And again, Dane Brugler from The Athletic with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Dane, let's move to corner. It's probably the biggest immediate need for the Colts as you look at them in regards to pick 15. How do you kind of view the top of your cornerback position list?
Yeah, I think that pick at 15 is either going to be a pass catcher or it's going to be a corner. And there should be multiple options for the Colts there. And for the, you look at the defensive players in this draft, you can make an argument the top two defensive players any position are the corners. That's how it fell on my board. And I know that's how it falls on some teams' boards, with Terrion Arnold from Alabama, Quinyon Mitchell, Toledo, whatever order you might have those guys. Mitchell has just been, he has crushed it the last 8-10 months. You know, he had some love from scouts over the summer, but we're talking about the second, third round pick. But then he goes through the season and he's an All-American, and nobody's had better ball production the last 2 years at the defensive back position than Quinyon Mitchell. The last 27 games, he has 43 passes defended, just an outrageous number. And so going after the season, he's an All-American. We're looking at him as, hey, this is going to be a top 35 pick. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl and just crushes it. Best player on the field. Goes to the combine. Oh, okay, I'm just running a 4.33 at over 6 foot, 195 pounds, 38-inch vert. Okay, check that box. So everything you wanted to see from Quinyon Mitchell, he has done. He has aced the process. And that's why he has a decent chance to be the first defensive player drafted. Terrion Arnold, he's right up there with him, obviously playing in the SEC compared to the MAC, big difference there. Didn't have the same type of 40. For some teams, that could be the differentiating factor. With Terrion Arnold, he ran a 4.50, and so doesn't have quite the same speed, but his cover athleticism is outstanding. I had one scout tell me who was at the Alabama Pro Day, no, he didn't run a great 40, but he had one of the best corner workouts I've ever seen in terms of the movement skills, short area quickness, just being a sticky corner with the movements and what you want to see out of a workout. So both these players, Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell, I think are worthy candidates for the Colts there at number 15.
How are they different, Dane? How are they different as players?
Yeah, I think with Terrion Arnold, he's a little more willing to come up and just smack you in the mouth. He's got this physical, competitive makeup. And that's not to say that Quinyon doesn't, but Quinyon's, I think, a little more finesse. He wants to just stay attached and, you know, he can close space, but he's not going to come up and necessarily hit you. And, you know, he wasn't asked to jam a lot in college, where with Terrion Arnold, he wants to be physical. He loves to talk. And Quinyon, he's more, a little more reserved, a little more introverted with how he plays. I mean, he's a dog, don't get me wrong, but he's not as vocal as, say, a Terrion Arnold is, who he will try to get in the mind of receivers with the way he talks, the way he plays. Honestly, that might be the reason why he ended up as corner one for me, talking about Terrion Arnold, because he does have that competitive makeup that I want my corners to have. And he just also a really talented player as well. So I think that mindset is just a little bit different between the two. But, you know, that's not to say that Quinyon Mitchell is not, or, you know, he's soft or anything like that. Not saying that at all. He's just not quite on the same level as Terrion Arnold when it comes to the physicality.
Again, he is Dane Brugler from The Athletic. The Beast is a must-read, as I said, to lead off the show. You might need 13 bathroom trips over the next couple of weeks to consume it all, but it is an absolute goldmine of an encyclopedia when it comes to the draft. Dane, I want to throw some local guys at you. Let's start with the biggest name. Obviously not a high school product, but certainly gave fans in Bloomington arguably their greatest IU football memories over the past, maybe their lifetime. Michael Penix, as we talk in 2 weeks on Friday morning, will Michael Penix's name have been called, you think?
I think there's probably a 50-50 shot. I think that we're going to see, obviously, the four quarterbacks go in the first round at the top, in the top half of round one, and then does another one sneak in there? Could two sneak in there with Michael Penix and Bo Nix? I think that there's a 50-50 shot. We see maybe the Raiders trade up from that second-round pick, maybe into the late first to go get him. Or, you know, what are the Broncos going to do with their quarterback situation? Would they trade back from 12 and maybe take Penix a little bit later? I really feel like it's a coin flip at this point because it's most teams have him and view him as a day two pick, but all it takes is one team to say, you know what, we're not going to sit it in the second round and wait for him to come to us. Let's go get our guy if we feel like he's worth it. So, yeah, I would say it's 50-50 at this point.
Okay, two other local names, hoping I'm not catching you off guard. I don't think I am because I know you've been really high on Tyrone Tracy during this process. The Decatur Central product obviously transferred to Purdue. And then Austin Booker from Center Grove here, who's bounced around a couple spots. So the edge rusher and Austin Booker, and then Tyrone Tracy sounds like a pretty good receiving back. Your thoughts on those two local guys?
Yeah, you know, Tyrone Tracy was kind of like one of my guys. You know, just from the tape study in November, it's like, okay, this is a guy I want to target in that fifth, sixth round. But then he goes to the combine and just blows it up. It's like, all right, secret's out on Tyrone Tracy. And good for him because he deserves the love that's coming his way. He's a really well, I mean, when you look at his background, being a former wide receiver, moving the running back, well-built athlete, his ability to create with the ball in his hands is a lot of fun to watch. Some of the decision-making at the line of scrimmage, you're just kind of like, you know, why'd you make that cut? Or, you know, you need to maybe just press the hole a little bit more. And so you see some of the inexperience as a true running back, but just get the ball in his hand and he's going to be able to create, whether he's moving vertically, horizontally, and then that multi-dimension threat, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield, that's what a lot of teams are looking beautiful. So, yeah, I think somewhere early day three is where we're going to see him come off the board. The secret's kind of out on him. He's a really good player. And then with Austin Booker, 6'4.5", 255 pounds, a young player. He just turned 21 years old and didn't start at Kansas. He had one start in his entire college career, redshirt sophomore coming out early. But you see the promise with what he offers. He's got a body that still needs to grow into. He was 13 pounds heavier at the Big 12 Pro Day than he was at the Combine. And so you'd like to see him continue to put on more good weight while still not without losing that athleticism. So you see the athletic traits, you see the length, you see the way that he can break down blockers. And I think you see a guy that's going to go somewhere in that third round as a promising pass rusher, be a situational guy as a rookie, and then eventually grow into a starting role down the road.
Dane Brugler with The Athletic. He's got the beast out. It's absolutely fantastic. Go check that out. You get that with your athletic description or prescription. What am I trying to say here? Give me the word, KB. I'm struggling.
Subscription.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Watching Tiger, and there's a lot of prescriptions
there's a lot of things.
With Tiger, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm sure Dane cares. Tiger put one within about 2 feet, so there you go, KB. last one for me, Dane. If Arnold happens to be there, or Mitchell, if one of the two big corners happens to be there, and they probably will at 15, and Brock Bowers is there at 15, what do you think? I mean, what the predicament that Chris Ballard could be in there at 15, a good predicament, but those are two opposite players, one offense, one defense. We know about weapons around Anthony Richardson, but if Arnold's there, or Mitchell and Bowers, what do you think?
Yeah, that's tough. And obviously you're in a division with CJ Stroud and Trevor Lawrence, and you need cover guys. You need guys that can lock down these receivers in that division. I'm not passing on Brock Bowers. I'm just not doing it. Give me the guy that's going to help influence the scoreboard with touchdowns. And I think you look at with that Steichen offense, the different ways that you could utilize him in the backfield out wide in the slot. What he gives you as a blocker, he's a master of the hidden yards. You know, for most tight ends at the 6 yard gain, he finds a way to get 9. And so he just changes. He tilts the equation so much in your favor. As long as you feel comfortable with the plan that you have for him, I think he's a worthy pick at that point. I understand the pushback with the tight end and the top half of round one. I get it. This guy is an offensive weapon. And so if he were to fall in your laps at 15, I'm not passing on him. He is worthy of that pick because he's so dynamic.
Dane, unbelievable. I'm astonished every year as soon as I open it up and I start to scroll and just the amount of detail. I mean, this is not a half-assed effort by any means out of you. Again, 1,967 players, 385,000 on the word count there, and 404 scouting reports. It is the beast on The Athletic, and it is a must for anybody that cares about the NFL draft. Dane, I know you're super busy and probably a little bit of decompress as you, I don't know, maybe reintroduce yourself to your family. Thank you for making time with us here.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.